Kirkville Towers Fund. So they can only get when they drive in to see the dog. And so, you know, that's not all the time. Could not do something about that.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Monday, March 18th, 2013, to order, and call on our county auditor, Rick Finley, if he would offer an opening prayer. Mr. Finley?
Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and again, thank you for the blessing that we have and just being able to come to you and bring our petitions to you, dear Lord. We thank you for the great God that you are, and we thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to provide a way of salvation for us. We just pray, Lord, that you would just give us guidance, wisdom, help us to understand the decisions that we need to make, the decisions that should be made in all levels of government, dear Lord. We just lift up the those that are in charge at the state, those that are in charge at the national level, dear Lord, and just pray for them also. We want to pray for those that may be in harm's way today, protecting our freedoms, and we pray, dear Lord, for them, their families that probably are missing them, dear Lord, just lift them up to you. And we want to lift up, dear Lord, those that may need your healing hand, and just pray that you be with them. Just give us guidance in all we do, and these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any commission remarks before we begin? Agenda request review. Nikki?
Good morning. Number two is being requested for May 20th. That is a ways out there, but it has to be publicized in the paper.
Okay, let me ask a question. May 20th is a Thursday, right? Is it?
No, it's a Monday.
Is it a Monday? Okay.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
yeah, it's a Monday.
Gosh, go ahead and put it on there. That's
I wish that if it were possible, we could either do that the following Monday or the prior Monday. The reason being, that's a NACO meeting.
Okay.
And I would like to be present for that, if you guys don't have any objection.
For the bank bid opening run?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I know that there's a lead-in time in going out for the depository. Mm-hmm. We still have plenty of time to do that, whether it's the week before.
Okay.
It may be closing in on the deadline. I don't know if that's 1st of June, or do you know, Mel, by any chance on that? So we've got plenty of time to do that. So if you could talk with Donna and Mel and see if we could find a different date that would work.
On this runway lighting project, I have forwarded the agreements to Frank Cotty. Mark Parent would like to come discuss a funding request before you gentlemen.
Gentlemen, want to do that next Monday or?
That's fine.
Yeah, I guess. What do you have to say on that?
Just find a date that works with...
With Mark.
With Mark.
Okay.
Does Randy need this... does he need that this Thursday, or is he on for today, or possibly can work something in on it, number one?
I'm looking at...
He's on for Thursday.
He is for an hour and a half. Is that something at the end of his presentation that we could add on?
Mm-hmm.
I see there's a 15-minute gap between the end of his time slot and the future agendas and procedures work session.
Okay.
Is that all right, guys?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I just added to the agenda because he may not take an hour and a half for his presentation. Just added.
Yeah, not a specific time. Just
on the back side.
That it may go into, exact. That's a personnel issue?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes.
Aren't we posted for personnel today? Could he, I mean, we'd ask him. We have counsel here today if that's what he had in mind or if he.
I think it was just a conversation that for you guys.
All right.
But I'll ask him.
This number four, I see no written need for that to be on the agenda. We had 3 hours of, well, over 3 hours of road review, although I'd leave that up to Mr. Brandon over there. It's on his district over there if he would want to take that in, but do you want to, after we've already posted and did 3.5 hours or 3 hours of road reviews?
I don't know that it's an issue that...
Need to be agendized.
Well, I think when you talk, the issue is not us taking over the roads as much as I think somebody bought the roads. So if somebody bought the roads, we can't take over the roads, is the way I understand it. So we need to, I think we need to have that brought before council and let them give us an opinion on what can and should be done.
Is this already in litigation, by the way? No?
No.
I was just told about it earlier this last week, or later last week, is that right?
You got a long email.
You got a long email.
That's what I was thinking.
From the lady who contacted the office, and I asked her to detail out everything because there was several.
So, I mean, at this point, I don't know what our role is exactly.
Right.
So, I don't think it's a matter of us, like I said, taking, if we don't own them, we can't just, I mean, there's ways to do it, but we need to figure out what the best way to do it is.
Can we pass all this information on to council?
Yeah.
And let them advise us whether or not we can even take a look at it at this time. I'm not opposed. It's just that council needs to give us some direction.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yes. That's an old subdivision that Devil's Pool platted whenever it was Devil's Pool and then was changed to Oakmont. And so it may be a legal issue that the county commission has no authority over whatsoever.
Number five, I requested this be put on. Are you gentlemen ready to address that or not address that at this time? Principal reason was, as I pointed out in prelim, Health Center has another individual that is resigning from the board. Or do you want to wait? Go ahead.
I think we have to wait till after the April 2nd election, don't we? Or that's 2 weeks. And agendize it from that point.
That's the way I understand it, yeah. I mean, we can appoint somebody and then have to try and reappoint. We have to, if we appointed somebody, then there would be the election. And then, so there's no point in appointing somebody until after the election for a 2-week term.
Your thoughts on that, Mr. Hausman?
Well, the election is a non-election, so you have one person that has filed for one seat. we have two other vacancies that this commission is going to have to fill that will not be covered by this April's election. So the question is, when do we want to do that? If you want to wait till after the election time, then that's what we'll do. And
according to council, the statute says, I mean, we could appoint them and then turn around and reappoint them. There still has to be an appointment. According to council, there has to be an appointment after the municipal election.
I set it up that way.
It's just 2 weeks away.
So we could do one now, but then we'd have to try and do it again after the April 2nd election.
April 4th. Maybe that Thursday.
That would be fine.
That's fine.
When is the MAC ledge?
15th.
Okay. Anything else, guys, on agenda? Thank you, Nikki.
Uh-huh.
Accounts payable?
I just thought of something that may need to be agendized. Sorry about that, but I received a couple of phone calls this weekend from PMZ members, and there needs to be a discussion with Bob Ashley about a presentation that he made, whether we want to proceed that in that direction or not. So it has to be something that would be agendized. Unless we want to wait till after approval from PNZ and then bring it to us, but
I don't know what you're referring to, Dan.
Well,
you're not talking about the proposed nightly rental agreements, because
no.
Are we ready to put that on the agenda?
I don't know whether they visited about those changes or not. That we recommended three small changes.
The question, I think, arose, Brandon, if I'm not mistaken, you went to that particular meeting, so I should let you address it, but I believe the legal question arose as to whether or not they could do that without another public hearing. I don't know that there was any disagreement with the two or three words that.
The question came up as, I don't know if it was in our meeting or theirs, but it said as long as it doesn't change the intent, but they're supposed to be getting with, I understand, our counsel to find out what his... Because whenever Bob was sitting there in our meeting, he had two different legal opinions. And so that's why I think you requested him go to our current counsel and get the opinion from him. And I don't know if they've done that yet or not.
Okay, let me ask this question. I brought it up. Do you want to wait and agendize both those items at the same time?
I don't know what the other item is, so I'm willing to have it on any time that you suggest. Is it just a discussion regarding P&Z, or?
No, it's a change in their policy as far as the zoning.
Something they've already voted on, or it's just...
It was discussed, and the members didn't know how to vote on it because it was a rather large change. And so they were calling me, asking me about it, and I said that's something that would have to be agendized and discussed with the county commission.
I'm ready anytime.
Well, why don't we do it at the same time we do the other amendment?
That's fine.
Will you work with Mr. Ashley on that?
Work with him on that and see.
Accounts payable.
Motion for approval of accounts payable.
Oh, yes.
checks 332866 through 332927, warrants 5762. Is this transfer? No transfers.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve accounts payable. Checks number 332866 through 332927. Warrant number 5762. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Could we have a request for change of documentation there on the one registration from the food deal down that was brought up in our preliminary discussion this morning?
On the way it's presented?
On the way it's presented, yes.
What do you ask? What are you...
I'm asking that instead of having total numbers, that it be presented
individually
as the checks. If we're checking it and checking it thoroughly, I know we have, this goes through five hands as approval, which is satisfactory to me, but I would like to, as I scan through the check registry, to have the figures match up with what's on the check register. I mean, it's just a request. It's not anything that we...
I would sure like to have input from the auditor's office on why they're doing it that way, and if that's all right.
Yeah. I visited with them this morning, and
is that something you'd like to add to agenda request so we can talk about it, or?
I think that I'll just have the auditor's office request it.
Okay.
Save them some time also.
Next on our agenda is the Taney County Health Assessment. Is there anyone here for that?
My health is good.
Are you here for that, Mr. E?
I seen an email on that, Ron, that was, I think it was from Donna.
It was a request from Mr. Berry of the Health Center regarding the in-depth assessment, the Community Health Assessment 2012 for Taney County. So let's ask that he be re-agendized. We'll just have Nikki reschedule that.
That'd be fine.
Noise ordinance. I missed something? Mr. Erickson, if you'll join us. I already had you marked off. My apologies. Bid opening, proposal, amendments, etc.
Are you going to bypass the noise ordinance?
It's not.
We'll go back to it. Okay. He skipped over one on accident.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I saw that on the agenda and just assumed that that was a clue to formalize the approved proposals from last week on the bid opening modifications that you all approved.
Did these documents I'm handing you are actually copies of the three pages within the policy, purchasing policy manual, that reflect those changes as approved. And there's also some existing stuff in there. What I've done is I went and actually revised the entire 20-page purchasing policy manual that I inherited. And I incorporated those changes that we talked about last week into those appropriate pages where the pre-existing information was. As I alluded to last week, that pre-existing information did not dictate the requirement to open every single bid and RFP and RFQ in front of y'all. This one, I think, is a response to your request from last week, especially Mr. Williams, regarding what I had submitted last week was verbatim for Boomtown. These are actually reformulated into our methodology. I've also forwarded this information along with the completed version of the revised 20-page policy, purchasing policy, to Linda Sorensen for her review. What we'll have to do is eventually you'll probably need to vote on this and then sign the actual revised version, as the previous version from 2006 had signatures from that existing commission at that time. There were a few other minor changes and updates that I did in the policy. One in particular was the previous policy had dictated that the purchasing agent was responsible for stockpiling copy paper. And, of course, that's a responsibility that Buildings and Grounds has and has ever since I've been here. So I took that out of there. I made a few other minor changes. The policy manual, purchasing manual, I'll correctly refer to it. Also has some items in there of responsibility that, for instance, the purchasing card process is in there, and the auditor's office manages that. There's also some indications in there about the purchase order process, of which I'm only minorly involved. And then there's some verbiage in there about the commission responsibility concerning assigning consultants and engineering companies, and of course my involvement there is to respond to instructions that you all put in.
Under the 5A, I just didn't know you have it spelled out $3,000 as opposed to three zeros. I mean, does it matter? It doesn't matter, but just for continuity, would you not want the 3,000 and 6,000 to be numerical as opposed to spelled out?
The way the RSO MO.
Okay, so you're quoting the specific state statute.
It dictates whether or not advertisements require it. It did change. It was 5,000 and it's actually 6. Regarding that comment, there, it does stipulate. That does stipulate based on what the Tanning County Commission. I'll add that. I saw that too. That's something that was already there.
We made one change. There were two that were offered, and the County Commission approved one. What was the reaction from the departments and the elected officials when you announced that?
Well, regarding the increase on the quote limit from 500 to 15, incredible. I mean, all the departments responded very positively and with gratitude that would streamline the purchasing process and their operations, not having to go out for quotes at such a low amount. I mean, everyone, because I did forward that out to everyone that was affected when you all voted on it, and everyone appreciated that change.
Under number 19, is it 19 where it says award, or is that 9, 6? 7, 8. Yeah, this should be If you follow that, wouldn't it be?
Oh, yeah.
I've got one X, too many X's. But I would suggest that right here where you say, the contract shall be awarded with reasonable promptness by appropriate written notice to the lowest.
And best, yeah.
Add the words.
That's how the RSMO reads as well.
But that's not how this reads, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, we considered this before, and I appreciate the fact that you've incorporated for us to look at, and I'm very positive about these recommended changes that we discussed, at least in part, last week.
Oh, we want to do it. I got a question for you.
Can I see that document?
This one?
Yeah.
I got a question for you. The this strictly, and I don't know where, maybe I've missed it, but this is strictly for department heads to go out for bid for these lower amounts, because I know that in certain cases we'll have, I'm just going to use Road and Bridge for an example, but I'm not, this is no reflection upon them, but they have the different supervisors that need something that'll call you and have you put it out for bid other than having Randy, or, you know, if Randy's not here and they need something, well, they call you. Does this cover that with department heads only, to where you feel comfortable with the larger amounts being presented?
Absolutely, and actually the way the way it reads is department heads or their designee and contact me, and depending on the amounts, anything over $4,500, obviously, in that estimated range goes out for bid, formal bid processing, and between $1,500 and $4,499, they would do three quotes as they've been doing at the $500 level and above.
Okay, I'm missing that because it's got the office holder or designee. Doesn't have anything about the department heads through such as Randy or others. It has office holder or designee. So that bothers me a little bit.
Who would be the who are you thinking is left out? Because we're the office holder, so all right. The departments that fall under us would be our designees. So Randy and or any other department that we oversee.
Okay, I'm just using this for an example.
Okay.
Collins.
Yeah, right. If there are designee.
There'd be a designee under us, under the office holders.
Okay.
That's the way that was worded. That wasn't anything that I've changed or created there. And in every instance when a department employee at any level contacts me regarding the need for a full bid or to assist them in the quote process, I do check with that manager in that department, the manager,
and
personal
call.
Authority.
Okay. The thing that I run into that is, I'll have a vendor approach me about, why didn't we get to bid on this? Well, they've either missed it through our web page, or they've missed it through some process, especially when it comes from, I'm just using them for an example, as Road and Bridge, as a particular, those individuals are responsible for that particular barn or office. And when they request it and they call out for three bids, and they, under the larger amount, is where I'm...
Okay.
That's where I'm feeling some concern.
Uh-huh, I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And... especially on things that we have to have, like electrical work, that that might not reach the $1,500 limit or so on and so forth. You understand where I'm at on that, that it should be approved through Randy as the road superintendent, but sometimes they...
My opinion is that Randy needs to stress that.
Yeah.
Send a memo and take care of the people that are working underneath him. And
okay.
That would address that. I agree with you.
Right. I just have some concern in our protection of who has the authority and the way it's wrote as office holder or designee, because that we have department heads that are in charge of those things. And when you drop down the line and get into supervisors or crew leaders or something like that, it bugs me that I get the phone call.
Yeah, I understand that, and I might offer that. For one, I'll be extra sensitive if I see a routine purchase that's within that range that only has three quotes, formal mm-hmm. quotes. I'll be extra sensitive to loop back with the person that did those quotes to make sure called and what the process was that they proceeded with, as well as making sure that their supervisor is in that loop. I would also suggest that and make this offer to you that, and this goes for any of the three of you, if you ever get a complaint from a vendor, please forward them to me, because the process that I've incorporated into this position since being here involves a much wider spread distribution of this information, as wide as I can make it, to grow vendor participation. That's, in essence, part of the reasoning why I'm making these adjustments, because the vendor participation has grown so much with regarding the larger bids that it takes so much time opening all those packages. So if there's I did get some calls like that when I first started, but I rarely get a call of complaint from a vendor, and usually it's a soft complaint that I didn't know that was going out, and why wasn't I called? And all they need to do is send me an email, and I archive all the vendors based on their categories and whatever their commodity is, and make sure that they are incorporated into the process. And I think Ronnie Armour, who does a lot of the quoting and chases a lot of pricing to get the best price for the county and a lot of things he buys, I think he goes the extra mile, keep a sophisticated list of these vendors. But please, if you ever get a complaint like that, forward them immediately to me, because I want to know why they weren't on our list and why they weren't contacted, and ensure that they are in the future that way.
Okay, and that's personnel, and I don't want to get into that part of it by name, but for that particular department, any of the other three barns, do they have designees that present to you bids on particular projects?
It's usually one or two people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just
want to protect ourselves on that. Some of these people that call me, some of them are nice, and some of them are a little irritated. You know, they call on those issues. So I just want to protect. I just want to protect ourselves. So
we try to put it out as widespread as we can. Certainly on the formal bid process, anything over $4,500. But on some of those smaller purchases, I can see where you're coming from. There's a gap. Maybe it's a gap there we need to be sensitive about.
Are we looking for approval or revised on this comments that we made?
Actually, he approached us a week ago with two recommendations. We approved one. The second has now been incorporated into the purchasing manual. That's what I was looking at. You've made those changes, of course. Mm-hmm. I would like you to correct the 19-9.
Got it.
And after lowest, add the words and best.
Got it.
To be in compliance with Missouri law. All of the changes that are incorporated within the recommendations made by Mr. Erickson fall well within the guidelines provided by Missouri law. So we're
right.
At least that's what I've seen and what it's been.
And a question to you, is it and best or best? It's or best, isn't it?
I think it's and best.
Yeah, it's and. I'll verify.
Okay, all right.
my recommendation would be to accept the amendments as provided by the purchasing director for the purchasing manual with those changes made today.
I'll make the motion to accept it.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the recommendations for amendments to the purchasing manual as presented by Ron Erickson with a couple of noted changes. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson.
Sorry about all the questions, but I just have those.
Yeah.
I have to cover that so I can tell you I told you so.
Certainly.
Well, you know, the in reading through the purpose, I think what you've accomplished and how you've moved it forward is evidenced here, because it's to simplify, clarify, and modernize Taney County procurement practices. And I think that's where we're headed. Thank you, Ron.
I'll make those adjustments, and then I'll get a copy of that to Nikki for signature. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Taney County Health Assessment. Would you gentlemen like to join us at the microphone?
Thank you.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
And if you would identify yourselves for those listening over the airwaves.
I'm Jim Berry, the director of the Taney County Health Department.
And I'm Robert Nesgoda, the assistant director for the Taney County Health Department.
Commissioners, I'd like to just thank you for giving us this few minutes this morning. This is a positive action. It's not a request for anything. It's just a report to you about the community health assessment for 2012 that is now printed and published and on our website. And we're distributing a hard copy to all the political subdivision schools and any organizations within the county that we work with as partners. And the national accepted standards for any public health department calls for an in-depth community health assessment be completed every 3 years. We have done this for the past several years. I'm not sure how many we've completed, but I know for the past 12 years, I think this is probably our fourth one that we have completed formally. And we now have a hard copy ready and are distributing. We brought one copy for your office and to be filed in whoever's care you want. We will plan to work with Nikki and the other members of your staff and work with, because a complete copy of the health assessment is on our website and is available to the general public and to all your departments that need it. I've asked Robert Nesgoda just to join me this morning, and since he led the team, this is one of his efforts that he does, one of his responsibilities, and I thought I'd let him just take a few minutes to tell you how we anticipate using it with you. And I would like to go on record to ask your permission to work with whomever you assign to get us on an agenda for an extended period at one of your work sessions. We feel a need to do that, to talk about some of the common interest things, such as the things we work together on, nuisance ordinances, that sort of thing, and further explain this. So with your permission, whoever you assign that I'll work with to try to get something scheduled so we'll have a little bit more extended time to work with you. But at this time, Robert will explain a little bit about how he anticipates you might use the...
Okay. The health assessment process actually began back early last year. We had convened a group of community health partners. Excuse me, got a frog in my throat. We had representatives from local elected officials, City of Branson, representatives, the hospital, City of Hollister, just a whole bunch of different community partners that participated in a several-month process where we reviewed a whole bunch of data. Looking at chronic disease, communicable diseases, social economic issues, demographics. And the group went through a pretty lengthy process to go through that data. We developed a survey. All the community partners put out the survey online to get some feedback from the community members. And by the end of that whole process, it took several months, we identified three health priorities that the county and the all the community partners are going to work towards over the next 3 to 5 years to address. The first one being substance abuse and tobacco use. We had high incidence of tobacco use in Taney County. It has come down a little bit over the past couple of years, but the last, I guess in 2008, when the state did a large study looking at tobacco rates in the state, our rate was close to 40%, which is astronomical compared to the state of Missouri and the national rate, which is the national rate is actually below 20% now, and the state of Missouri rate's in the mid-20s. So we're quite a bit higher, but in 2011, that number did come down a little bit. It's closer to lower 30s, but it's still elevated. We need to address that, and we'll be looking at different things, different programs. The hospital actually is starting a cessation program through a grant with Missouri Foundation for Health, and the health department is working with them closely on that. We also have elevated rates of substance abuse issues in Taney County. We also have seen some rates with tobacco use in the schools with younger people, as well as prescription drug use and illegal drug use among the youth in the county. Those rates were elevated higher than the state rate, so the community is going to work on that and start addressing that. And the ADAPT Coalition has been working with the Cedar Branson, and they're going to expand their programs to other communities to address substance abuse in Taney County. The second health priority is going to be unhealthy body weight. We do have a higher incidence of obesity in Taney County, just like other counties in Missouri. The state rate is elevated, as well as the national rates are elevated. I think we're not as high in that category as some other counties, but we do have a higher rate of overweight people that fall in that BMI range where they're not, in the normal category, but then again, they're not to the point that they're considered obese. The problem is we have people who are still sedentary. They're not physically active, so it's just a matter of time before they move into the obese range. So there's going to be some programs focusing on physical activity and obesity and things like that. The third health priority is going to be child and family safety. With child and family safety, we do have incidents of injuries among seniors, among younger people, motor vehicle accidents. There's also higher rates of abuse and neglect in the county. So that's kind of going to be a more difficult one to address because there are so many different categories and issues that we need to address with child and family safety. But with the community partners, are going to be dedicated to addressing that, and I think we'll make some really good progress on all those health priorities. But there is some coalition development activities that are ongoing, and just to let you be aware, there will probably be a larger announcement later this spring when a new coalition kind of takes the stage, and it'll hopefully bring together more community partners and help coordinate all the agencies, all the not-for-profit agencies that are focusing on various projects under one coalition group that will help coordinate activities focusing on the health priorities for the community. But the health assessment is available online at www.tanycohealth.org. We have this summary version, which is, I think, roughly around 82 pages or so. We also have the larger data chapters. There's 12 of those, and that's actually close to 200 pages. Lots of tables, charts, lots of data. We didn't want to print that big book because it would just be it's better to be an electronic version. We'll save some trees, and it'll be easier for people to search through the electronic version than the hard copy.
Would you give that website again?
www.taneycohealth.org.
So T-A-N-E-Y-C-O.
C-O.
Health.
Health.org.
That's all one word.
Yeah, one word. And it'll be in the community health data section.
Excellent.
Look forward to working with
them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's right there on your front page, actually. As you pull it up right now, it's right there on your front page.
Yes, on the front page.
Jim, if you would work with Nikki in our office to schedule a work session time so that we can sit with you and or whatever board members that you want or not want, and we'll be delighted to have that meeting.
Are you still scheduling work sessions outside your normal agenda items? I mean, I know it has to be posted meeting.
We post them as an agenda, but we do occasionally have a work session like that. So, okay. Yes, we'd be delighted to do that. Thank you all very much.
You're one of our partners sitting back here.
Gentlemen, we have scheduled a discussion regarding noise ordinance. This is ordinance number 2009-10-08-2. This was based upon a request from Commissioner Strahan that we revisit an ordinance that is in place and has been in place since 2009. At that time, by a vote of 2-1, an ordinance was passed which regulated the hours for certain construction-related activities. And the gist, I believe, of the ordinance was to restrict noise before the hours of 7 a.m. and after the hours of 7 p.m. Whenever there was any proposed construction. Is that fairly stated, or...?
Is it a commercial construction, or is that any construction? I mean,
it's any construction.
Any construction?
More specifically, this was signed on the 8th day of October 2009.
I want to clarify something on that. Anything that is voted on, or and you might give me some direction, or legal counsel might give me some direction. The fact that that I was the opposing vote on this issue, whether I can have any participation in the vote or the bringing up of the subject is questionable to me. I know that it was something that was very controversial. Anyone that's in the construction industry, I've received lots of complaints. 7 o'clock in the summertime, whenever it's extremely hot, a lot of construction people, whether they be in the concrete business or whether they be in the roofing business or basically any construction business, need to work in the cooler part of the afternoon. And this ordinance was something that was passed for a particular subdivision, but the way that it's wrote, it involved the entire county. And so I don't know what my participation might be. Maybe some of you, Ron, maybe you know the statutes well enough to know.
It's my belief under Robert's Rules of Order that since you were not on the winning side of the argument or of the question itself, that you cannot make a motion to rescind or to reconsider. However, certainly you can take part in any debate as a commissioner, and you can take part in the debate if a motion and a second are forthcoming. That's my understanding of parliamentary procedure. I have a couple of questions for you while we're chatting about this. If I understand one of the regulations that a part of this ordinance was passed, for example, let's say there's a storm on a Saturday night and you lose part of your roof and there's a rain coming, you can't work on Sunday to put your roof back on. It says no construction on Sundays.
That's right.
Now, to me...
Well, it does say that there's a... in an emergency situation, you can. but I think you have to go and get a variance from the commission. How are you going to get a variance on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning? So they put an emergency clause in there, but it's still not all-encompassing.
Right, and then the commission has to meet.
Right, in order
posted form in order to vote upon
this
request.
If it's commercial, I mean, because Sunday days is, that's like the only day I have to do. You know, if I wanted to build a shelf for my garage, I'm probably gonna do it on a Sunday afternoon after church. I mean, so you're saying I can't? Is that what the, is that what that's saying?
What based on the basis of what's wrote up here? Anyone that could complain,
right?
I mean, you could go ahead, but anyone that could place a complaint before the county commission, there is a fine and a discipline order to this thing, and I argued the points when it was being discussed. Apparently, neither one of the gentlemen that voted for it had ever worked concrete in the afternoon or put a roof on in the afternoon, because I worked construction for 20 years, and I know that we used to work from daylight till 10 o'clock and then take off and then have to come back to work at 6 or 7 in the afternoon and work till dark. And so it's unreasonable. And it's a shame in economic times that we're in to place this upon the citizens of the county.
Let me read what 2.1 says under Section 2. The exterior construction, demolition, alteration, or repair of buildings involving the operation of machinery or equipment, or the repair or maintenance of such machinery or equipment, which causes loud or disturbing noise, such that a reasonable person of normal sensibilities would be adversely affected, except between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, is hereby prohibited within 1,000 feet of any inhabited residential structure. Any such activity set forth in this paragraph is prohibited all day on Sundays. The emergency temporary variance that you spoke to, Brandon. Exceptions to this prohibition may be granted in case of urgent necessity in the interest of public health and safety, and then only with a permit from the Taney County Commission, which permit may be granted for a period not to exceed 3 days while the emergency continues.
I think it's a bit excessive. Danny, do you think anything needs to be put in place at all? Is there any time, you know, past 11, or what are your thoughts?
I just think it adds to the problem that if there's a formal complaint that there's a disturbing the peace laws on the books statewide that would take care of any situation, and for us as a county to proceed with a ordinance that restricts the livelihood of construction people is out of line.
Are you saying you're pro less government?
Yes.
I mean, as a good Republican, you should be.
I'm just thinking that it's. I heard one of the commissioners that voted for this that said that they thought they had made a mistake in voting for it, but they never did get around to correcting their mistake.
Do we need to have a
public hearing or something?
Do we need to have some public input on it?
I've had plenty of public input, but I don't know whether you want to have a public hearing or not, but I've had lots of people discuss this issue. And to answer your question, I think it's unnecessary.
Oh, I agree. But, so do we need, before we have a public hearing on, do we need to rescind it, or how do we, what's the process?
It's entirely up to this commission. We can, in fact, vote to rescind the ordinance if that's the wishes of the commission. We can let it stand. We can host a series of public meetings. I believe that there are a number of issues that we need to take a look at. We continue to have individuals' approaches regarding a nuisance ordinance. Thus far, our problems have been finding the teeth to enforce a nuisance ordinance. However, we could address this in more reasonable terms, I think, rather than what has been voted in by a previous commission. We can do it either way. My opinion.
Would you like to explain that the statement you made about the teeth for first class county? What little I know about that, Ron, legally, the nuisance ordinance that is in place for first class counties. Cities have nuisance ordinances. Counties of the second, third, and fourth can have a nuisance ordinance, but we have been left out of the statute to have an ordinance placed in a first-class county that has teeth enough to have a process.
Enforce it.
To enforce.
But we are still continually having that researched, and we have requested information from other counties.
At the MAC meeting, this was discussed at the MAC meeting in our breakout session for first-class counties the last time that we met. So we're searching.
I would like to say something about it.
Have a chair, Sheriff.
When you're considering this, we had a situation that ourselves pouring a concrete slab this last summer or last fall. And taking consideration, we poured it at 8 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock the next morning, due to the weather conditions and everything, we were still running power trails. So, but you know, you need to take in consideration the contractors if they have situations like that to where they can go ahead and work and not lose a slab, or if they're framing something, the weather changes, they need to get something done, you know, work late to get things done to secure a structure. You know, just saying, well, 7 o'clock is the cutoff time could cause somebody a lot of financial loss on it.
And to speak to the same situation, we poured a lot of concrete when I was young. If you pour it in the middle of the hot summertime, there's a great possibility that the cap's going to come completely off and ruin a concrete floor that you're going to have in a basement for a finished product with a lot of added expense.
It was harder to pour concrete back in the 40s, wasn't it?
It was hand mixture.
You know, quite frankly, this last summer with the weather we had, with these hours, it would have been difficult for construction to be able to pour a whole lot of concrete during that hour frame, get it all finished. So we need to do everything we can to promote all the construction around we can.
Right.
Thank you. That's all I had to say about it.
May I make a suggestion that we ask council to be absolutely sure of procedure regarding rescission of an existing ordinance. They're going to be here today. I have a copy of the ordinance in hand. I will be delighted to give it to them and ask their thoughts on it, if that's are agreeable with you gentlemen. And then I would have no problem rescheduling on another day. That's what I'll do then.
write note to self about my involvement in the non-vote on the first.
Funding agreement increase for Rockaway Beach. Mr. Suti.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was here today. The city of Rockaway Beach currently has a funding agreement in place to make repairs and equipment replacement to the wastewater treatment facility. That work is currently underway. The work on the wastewater treatment facility is mandated by the Environmental Protection Agency. A few years back, it was discovered that the treatment plant wasn't meeting its discharge limitations. There had been some lacks in operation, and a lot of the equipment had been left to go in a state of disrepair. This has been going on between the Department of Natural Resources and the EPA, like I said, for 2 years, maybe going on three now. But the city has contracted with a operator now, Mr. Thomas Felton. I believe he's been with the city probably in over a year now. He came on high recommendation from the Department of Natural Resources. He has identified several components within the wastewater plant that needed attention. However, like kind of going into a rebuilding of a home, you don't really know what you got until you get into it. And they're well on their way to do this work, but they found some issues that's come up to where they're feeling that another $50,000 possibly could be needed to go ahead and make the repairs necessary to get to the end goal, which is to get the treatment plant back in a state that it can meet, be in compliance and meet its discharge limits of the effluent going into Lake Taney Como. $50,000 is what he estimates that he will need. You know, if that money's not spent, it'll just go, it just won't be reimbursed. Part of his, in the information packet, there was information provided by the operator that outlined the things that they needed the extra dollar amount for. On item five, some of those things were laboratory equipment. Laboratory equipment has been something in the past that's been discussed, whether it would meet the reimbursement guidelines or not. The sewer board, when looking at this and looking at the situation with the wastewater plant and trying to get it back up to a firm foundation of sound operation, felt that with the current definition of capital improvement, as it is right now that we're working under, that the request for this lab equipment would fall under that. The lab equipment is well over 20 years old. You know, to ensure that you are meeting your discharge limits, there's a lot of wastewater laboratory testing that has to occur, and having good lab equipment is a primary necessity. But we've looked in the past as capital improvements being more of a brick and mortar expense and not an actual equipment expense, as far as going into laboratory equipment and different things like that. Also, they're looking at a new heating and air system for the wastewater treatment plant laboratory. It's basically, I say laboratory, it's a control building. It's got an office in it. It's got the laboratory is inside that, and there's some storage area there also. But the heating and air system is probably over 20-something years old also, and giving them some problems. One thing that a building that houses the laboratory equipment has to be maintained at a certain temperature based on the Department of Natural Resources and EPA guidelines. And they're finding it hard to regulate that temperature given the current heating and air system that they have. So the laboratory equipment and, you know, a new heating and air system, I feel that I talked to Thomas the other day when I was down there touring the plant, and he's got three bids or three price quotes from Area providers of that type of equipment, and I believe it was like $3,800 for the heating and air system. And then the laboratory equipment, which is very expensive, we're looking at an autoclave, a drying oven, and then a laboratory specification refrigeration unit. You're probably looking at $15,000 for that equipment.
Are those figures that you're proposing part of the $50,000 increase?
Yes, sir.
And you assume those to be capital improvements?
Looking at the definition that we're working under, yes, it would be an improvement, an enhancement, or a more efficient, an improvement in the efficiency of the operations, yes.
And the sewer district has approved this?
Yes, sir.
I have a question. We know that the city of Rockaway takes in Bull Creek and
Merriam Woods.
Merriam Woods. Mm-hmm. And there was discussion, and it may be still ongoing, but there was discussion a few years ago about the upgrading of the entire facility there at Rockaway.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a, I don't know how to term this, but other than, is this a patch work if there is an expansion of the project?
Is it a Band-Aid, or is it going to be part of the overall improvements?
It could be part of the overall improvements with the equipment upgrades and replacement of the equipment that basically was frozen up and different things like that. There is discussion, though, that if the plant was expanded, is there room, given the property that the city has, is there room to do an expansion there on that property? There was also concern at the time with the previous mayor that the citizens that live in that area might question the expansion of a larger wastewater treatment facility there in that location due to the subdivision there. So there was actually different locations being looked at, and that was on a study type format, was looking at different locations. Nothing was ever really identified as this is where we need to go.
Wasn't the intent in looking at this in the past to also move Venice on the Lake into that system, or would there be a new system that would be?
Right now, the county owns capacity to bring Venice on the Lake into this system here, which it definitely needs these upgrades to be able to handle that flow. The expansion of that facility was in regards to the growth that Bull Creek Village and Merriam Woods were experiencing back a few years ago when things were just booming right in that area. Right. That's kind of subsided now. But as far as Venice on the Lake, there is capacity in that plant for Venice on the Lake right now. The sewer district and county are not really in need for more capacity to achieve the primary goal, which is to get Venice on the Lake into that plant. But this facility, up until here recently in the last year, has been pretty much on automatic pilot. There's maintenance things that weren't done and different things. Equipment was frozen up, just a multitude of things. That's why we're actually having to go in and replace a bunch of equipment and different things. It's not meeting its discharge permits right now, and DNR is aware that with the county's assistance in funding these things, that they are working. Thomas was going to be here today, but he had a meeting with the EPA officials to do an audit of where they're at right now with these repairs, so I guess he's got held up in that. But this here, what we're talking about today, would just get the plant back up to that level of operation that it should have always been at. But the capacity that we, or the sewer district and the county in the future, will need for Venice on the Lake is in that plant now.
If the additional $50,000 or up to the $50,000 is expended, does that put us on firmer footing with DNR, EPA?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I asked Thomas, where does he think he'll be at whenever he can get this plant back up and running efficiently, and he figures probably about the early summer in May or June that he should have all these improvements made to the plant.
I got a question for you, John, and the fact that I'm all for, because of the amount of citizens that are affected by this plant not being in operation, including the other villages, Bull Creek and Marionwood. But, and I'm not again the proposal for getting it fixed up, but where does the responsibility of the city that collects the revenue from those other sources, where does that lie?
Well, the responsibility,
I mean, they take in the
revenues.
Revenue stream, and I assume that Merriam-Wood pays Rockaway for theirs, Bull Creek pays for theirs. So for us to be, and I'm for fixing it, the replacement, the DNR, to meet DNR standards and the EPA, but I would like a more of an answer of whose responsibility it is with the revenue stream not coming to the county but coming to those villages.
We have an agreement that was penned back in the late 90s in which the allocations of capacity were assigned. And Merriam-Woods has a certain amount. Bull Creek received a certain amount of capacity for their input financially, as did the county. But in the agreement, there's no doubt that Rockaway Beach is responsible for the wastewater plant. They did maintain the operating permit is in the city's name, and the agreement goes back several times that leaves no doubt that they are truly responsible for that plant and the operation and the upkeep thereof. We the other parties of that agreement own capacity, and Rockaway Beach is paid to treat that wastewater. A fee is charged to Merriam-Woods and Bull Creek and the county one of these days, or the sewer district on Benison Lake. And then it's the city's responsibility to ensure that those fees are sufficient to provide for the proper operation of that plant, which we're all a party to. Because if the plant's not running right, then that could trickle back. But that was discussed at length quite a few times, that Rockaway was looking towards Merriam-Woods and Bull Creek to put some of their money, some of their sales tax money, in with them to bring this plant back up to the level we're talking about. And after reviewing the agreement, the attorneys representing those other parties, you know, said that it was clearly Rockaway's responsibility, and they couldn't recommend that their clients enter into financially any responsibility on that.
There's a
total, when Rockaway had the money to do it, basically.
Right. There's total misunderstanding as you read letters to the editor in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
That the county commission and you yourself have been named as responsible for this situation. As you know, it has been apparent ever since I've been a commissioner that Venice on the Lake, the lower side of that project, is to go into the capacity at Rockaway Beach. The fact that Bull Creek and Merriam-Woods have grown in such a rapid pace, I feel that we have responsibility as a commission to go along with the sewer board, who is a separate entity now, to help in that distribution of funds to provide that service. But the fact that they blame the miscommunication, I guess, from these people that have wrote the letters to the editor, truly don't understand the process. And I'm in support of making a motion that we get this back on track, and but I would like a little more responsibility assigned to the responsible parties and villages to for the revenue stream to help in the support of that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We had a gentleman at the last sewer board meeting, and I thought we explained it
you know, where we were at with the Venice on the Lake project and you know, what the thoughts were on moving forward with that project. And then there's another gentleman that we had responded to a pretty lengthy email explaining the situation also with Venice on the Lake. One of the things that the Sewer District Board wanted Rockaway to do is, you know, their rate for wastewater service is like $7.50 per 1,000 gallons, and ours is almost $40. There was a concern amongst the Sewer Board members that is their rate sufficient, that if the county funds are used to bring this plant back up to a level of efficient operation, are their rates sufficient enough to maintain that level of operation? And so the Sewer Board basically asked Rockaway to procure the services of a professional engineering firm and have a rate analysis done of their current sewer rate for charges of wastewater treatment to see if it is sufficient or not before they wanted to continue the discussion on Venice on the Lake. Because I feel that the Sewer Board members wanted to ensure that there was financial means there to, if once we bring wastewater into Venice on the Lake, then we're a stakeholder. And we're a stakeholder now anyway because we own capacity, but we're not actually paying anything. And I feel that the Sewer Board, basically what was stated is...
It's not
is
that we're not paying anything. We've already paid for that capacity.
We paid for the capacity, but we're not being charged for treatment. I guess, you know, the monthly revenue's coming in for treatment costs because we don't have any flow going in yet. But you're correct on that. The Sewer Board wanted to table any further discussions until that rate analysis was done by the City of Rockaway Beach. That was the last conversation that we had had with the city. Now, there was a gentleman there at the last Sewer Board meeting that asked some questions about, you know, where we were with it and different things. And that was explained to him also.
Well, on this subject here, we've had a lot of discussion here on this, but I'm ready to make a motion on change order number one for the increased funding of $50,000 to the City of Rockaway to bring their treatment plan up to EPA and DNR standards.
Second with discussion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve change order number one for the funding agreement between City of Rockaway Beach and Taney County, or is it and/or the Sewer District?
Well, the funding agreement, basically the Sewer District reviews those agreements, and then I kind of oversee the request for reimbursements, but the funding actually comes from the county.
So a funding agreement by and between Taney County and the City of Rockaway Beach. Discussion?
He said that if they don't use the full 50, it will be reimbursed to the...
Yeah, the money is only distributed based on invoices coming in, on actual expenses, and they could not exceed that $50,000 unless we come back to the commission again. I don't anticipate that, but that would be the process should we have to.
Will you amend your motion to approve up to $50,000?
Yep. So moved.
Second. Your second. And as part of the discussion, when the invoices come in, they come to us. So
yeah, what happens when I get a request for that?
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say that I go down and I meet with the city officials and we tour the plant, and I document what work has been done, that the work that they're requesting reimbursement for has been completed, and take photographs and stuff, and then I incorporate that into a report to the commissioners, and we ask to get on the agenda. So, well, actually, if it's part of an approved agreement, Nikki is working those things on through the system instead of coming, you know, that. But I submit that information should y'all have any questions or anything.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. as you're aware, as we're moving through these funding agreements with the different entities and or existing projects that the sewer district has, it's my hope that through creative financing funding with the county commission that we're going to bring those exorbitant rates down.
That's our total.
Not bring them up.
That's our total. That's what the county commission wants to do. I want to also make it clear that as one county commissioner who has sat for a long period of time here, that it has been a request from me that at least the lower half of the Venice on the Lake project be completed and that pipe be in the ground. The sales tax is for capital improvements, and I hope that those pipes are in the ground and available for sewer that would go into that area. As it stands now, without any pipe in the ground, even if the ones that wanted to hook up or the ones that didn't want to hook up, there's nothing there for them to consider because there's no pipe in the ground.
Our next agendized item are costs regarding Sunshine Law requests. We have an individual employee who has requested to be on the agenda. I don't see him.
I would ask that this be either agendized or come before public hearing, public comment at a later date if he's not here. And maybe this can be resolved without coming before the county commission on an agendized item.
I wonder if we could stand in recess for until 10:30. Would that be all right? Let's stand in recess till 10:30. That's 6 minutes.